Welcome to the Amherst Wesleyan Church Sermon Podcast.
All right, we are going to get into God's Word. So if you have your Bible or a digital version of a Bible on your device, you can open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we've been in a series all about what does it mean to be a part of a church. We started that series last week with Pastor Evan, and he talked all about how each of us are designed differently. We all have different gifts that we offer in service to the church, but sometimes we get carried away with comparing ourselves to other people. Well, they have something that I don't, and what do we do with that? And basically learning about how we are meant to operate as the church in accordance with our gifts so that we are serving one another rather than comparing to one another. And so we're going to continue on in this series in 1 Corinthians, and we're kind of just going through chapter by chapter, thought by thought, things like that. And today, we're going to talk about how'd you know? Barb. Oh, my. Barb snuck up here and looked at my notes during all the free time there. So, we're talking about love today. When we hear the word love, lots of different thoughts come immediately to our mind about love and about what love looks like. We all want to try to be that good person who loves well. And so for some of us, when we hear love and when we hear about trying to be loving, we think to ourselves, well, if I just do enough, if I just serve enough, if I just do more things, then I'm a good person and then I'm really loving. And so if I give more of my tithes, if I work harder, if I teach better, if I do a better job as a worship leader doing better music, if I just rock that sermon on a Sunday morning, right? I'm a good loving person if I do that, right? Or if I just do a lot more at church and I fill my schedule up with different opportunities to serve, if I do a really good job of preaching the gospel at my workplace and sharing my faith with other people, if I don't do all the wrong things, all the wrong behaviors, and I just try to live out that holy life that Jesus expects from me, and if I just like sacrifice everything that I have in service of God, I'm a good, loving person. And what we end up doing is we start saying to ourselves, if I just do more, I'm loving. And we end up into kind of like a legalistic mode where it's all about what I'm doing. It's all about my acts and it's all about my service and it's all about just what I am pouring out and doing more. And as long as I'm doing enough, I'm good, I'm loving. Okay? For some of us, we hear the word love and we kind of find ourselves on the opposite side of a spectrum where it's all about just feel good, man. Hippy dippy love, right? It's all good. It's all loving. I'm just gonna coexist really well. And I'm just gonna ignore all the things that people are doing because I just want to be so loving. I just want to be so accepting, so affirming of who they are. And so I'm not going to cast any judgment, and I'm going to show that I really care by just being like, yeah, man, like, I love you. It's all good. It doesn't matter what you've done. And like, I'm gonna express love by just having like deep intimacy with people. And some of us, we feel like, oh, like love is just all about the ooey gooey, all right? And so we have this idea of love in our mind where it's like, I'm either falling into this, I have to do enough to be loving, or I have to just permit enough in other people to be loving. And the problem with either of those is that they're not enough. They don't seem to have the effect that we want on our own lives or on the lives of people around us. It feels like there's something missing when we try to love the ways the world loves, or we try to love in ways that's all about just doing stuff and pouring ourselves out, but feeling like, okay, what is that all in service of? It seems like there's something missing when it comes to my love and my expression of love to my neighbors and to my spouse and to my community and to my church and so on and so on. There's something missing. We get to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And it says this, starting in verse 1. It says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. For where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror, then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. So we have here in the scripture a redefining of love. That it's not about what I do, and it's not about what I just permit. There's something different. You see, this love, this definition of love that we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, is not just a command of how we're supposed to love. It is the nature of God and how He loves. I remember hearing someone say before that because the Bible also says that God is love, that you could take the word love out of here and replace it with God and then reread it and be like, oh, this is who God is. So go to verse 4. God is patient. God is kind. God does not envy. God does not boast. God is not proud. God is not rude. God is not self-seeking. God is not easily angered. God keeps no record of wrongs. God does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. God always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. God never fails. And so we have in this section of scripture a definition of love and how we're supposed to love, but it's rooted in who God is and how He loves. God loves a certain way. It's not about doing, and it's also not about permitting. It's not about legalism, and it's not about loving like the world loves. There's something different and unique about the love of God that He has for us, for the world, that He then says, do likewise, and here's how, and here's what it looks like. The love of God is something bigger than those other things that we have focused on. Our works fall short, and human love is too short-sighted. Both of these things miss the mark of what love truly is. So here's what I think we're supposed to be getting from this section of Scripture today. Go ahead there, Nathan. Loving like God is the first thing we should be working on. Loving like God is the first thing we should be working on. What do I mean by this? Well, we know how God loves. We're seeing that there. We're seeing how God loves. And too often, we don't just get our own definition of love wrong, we also get the priorities wrong when it comes to our love. Because we think to ourselves, well, if I want to be loving, I just got to do more. And so Paul says this in verses 1 through 3. Like, if I do all these really wonderful, awesome things for God, if I speak in tongues and if I prophesy and if I do this and I do that and I do this and I do that, and I don't have love, I am nothing. In other words, it's like your efforts, your spiritual gifts, your exercise of those things are nothing if you don't have love. If love is not the priority in your life, and you're not loving like God does, you're missing out on what He actually wants. I think God is more concerned with how we love each other than just what we do in service of His kingdom. We need to love each other above what we just do. The love of God is bigger than our works and our spiritual gifts. It is bigger than just loving like the world loves and just saying, hey, it's all good, just peace and love, man. Loving like God is the first thing we should be working on. The love of God is what is often missing in our lives, and it's what's missing in our expressions of love and in our relationships with one another and in our participation in the church. It's the missing piece. It's the missing ingredient. It's kind of like this. So, years ago, I got engaged to my wife, Olivia. And, you know, to the men in the room, you know what that's like. You get down on one knee and you pop the question. You got the ring and it's like, oh, this is nice, right? So, that's not really the point of the story. So, Olivia and I got engaged, and part of how we did things was that, and I had this all planned, I was going to do the proposal, and then when she had said yes, hopefully, and she did, so that's good, we were going to go back to my parents' house, where my parents were, and where my in-laws, or I guess future in-laws at the time, were, and we were going to have a big old party with barbecue and desserts and all this and that, and my mother-in-law decided she wanted to bake a plum pie. And apparently, she was famous for these plum pies. 1-800 number's calling me, that's awkward. She was famous for these plum pies. And so, we were going to have a plum pie after getting engaged, and it was going to be a wonderful, awesome thing. And so, in front of us was this plum pie, and it looked good. And it smelt great, and we were all salivating over it, ready to dig into this thing. We took a bite and spit it right out. There was something missing in that plum pie. Sugar. There was zero sugar added. It got forgotten. It got missed. And if you've ever had a plum pie without sugar, or if you ever just had a plum, you know, they're kind of tart. They're not the most sweetest fruit on the market. And so this thing was pretty bitter. This thing was pretty tart. It did not taste very good. We threw that in the trash pretty quick. And she felt really bad, and it was like this big thing. And anyways, we laugh about it all the time when we think about it. But that plum pie is like God's love. That if God's love is missing, it might look like love, it might smell like love, it might have the appearance of love, but there's something missing to it. That if the love of God, as we see in 1 Corinthians 13, is not in our life, It is like we're that plum pie without the sugar. It's bitter. It's tart. It's not enough. It misses the mark. It's not sweet. If our love is just about trying to do more so that we appear loving, we're missing the mark. If our love is just about, it's all good, man, just the hippy-dippy stuff, it looks like love. Our world is very much convinced that that is what love is, but it misses the mark. It is not enough. It is short-sighted. Loving like God is the thing we need to be focusing on and working on and prioritizing. So what does that look like specifically? How do we have the love of God in our lives in a way that actually permeates into our relationships with one another and changes things? Changes our marriages, changes our workplaces, changes how we parent our kids, changes all those different things. Well, some examples. Loving like God looks like refusing to gossip about others, whether they're inside the church or outside the church. Loving like God looks like not keeping a record of the rights and wrongs that your spouse has done. It's not keeping score of how many sacrifices you've made in the marriage and saying, we're in this together. Loving like God looks like maintaining friendships with people who have nothing to give you in return. Loving like God looks like not giving up on people when they have failed or when they have disappointed you. Loving like God looks like calling people out on their sins, not allowing them to stay stuck in their sin, but holding them accountable in a way that is loving, in a way that is not demeaning and destructive, but in a way that says, look, I see what you're doing, and because I love you, I don't want your life to be destroyed by this thing you are caught up in. Loving like God looks like not celebrating evil, even when evil happens to evil people or to people that you don't like. No, we don't do that. Loving like God looks like not getting our entertainment from evil things. Loving like God looks like taking risks on people and saying, I'm going to be willing to be vulnerable. I'm going to be willing to open up. I'm going to be willing to share the parts of my life that I need help on. Loving like God looks like having hope for those who are lost and not giving up on them. It looks like choosing to hope even when it looks like they're just going to let you down anyway. Loving like God looks like living out your calling and having the heart of God at the center of everything that you do, so that it's not about making yourself look good, propping yourself up on a pedestal and be like, hey, look at how amazingly talented they are, but it's about drawing attention to Jesus. When we love like God, it does different things. It creates confidence, it creates joy, it creates peace and gentleness and self-control and patience and kindness. We see other people's lives changed. We see victory over sin, both for ourselves and for those other people that we love who are stuck in that sin. We are able to reach more people for the sake of the gospel. We're able to see healthy marriages in our church. We're able to see a healthier church. When we love like God, we don't see gossip. We see forgiveness. We see people confessing their sins without fear of judgment. We see unity. We see people having a clarity as to what God is asking them to do. We see transformation for ourselves, for our marriages, for our families, for our workplaces, for our community. The kingdom of darkness is pushed out of here. God's presence becomes more and more obvious, and we can hear God speak and engage with him. God's love needs to be the center of our lives. It needs to be the first thing that we are working on. It needs to be the way that we love each other. That we would be patient and kind and not envy and not boast and not be proud and not be rude and not be self-seeking and not easily angered and keep no records of wrongs. To not delight in evil but rejoice in the truth. To protect and trust and hope and persevere. That we would love like God loves. So how do we do this? How do we get to this place where God's love is what is driving us, is what is influencing us, is what is prioritizing our relationships? Well, the first thing is that you need Jesus in your life. You can't love like God if God is not in you. If you're here today and like maybe you've been checking out church for a while, but you've yet to make Jesus the Lord of your life, to surrender to him and to repent of your sins and to just surrender to him, you're invited to do that here today. You can make that decision today. And that is the first step, because without Jesus, you're not going to be able to love other people like he loves. So the first thing is we need to have Jesus in our lives. The second thing is that we need to remember that this life that we have is not about us. It's not about what I can get. It's not about what I can do. It's not about me at all. It is all about Jesus. It is all about loving like him to other people and living that out. I got to accept that this life is not about me. It is about loving others as God loves them. And then lastly, we need to let Jesus change our hearts from the inside out. That if the center of our love is something that is not God's love, if it's the legalistic side, or if it's like loving like the world does, whatever it is, whatever is currently driving you, you got to let Jesus transform that part of you and align your heart with his kind of love to transform you from the inside out, so that your love looks like his and not like what you've been doing for the last however many years you've been living. We need Jesus in our lives. We need to be humble and say that this life is not about us. And we need him to change our hearts so that we love like he does. Because loving like God is the first thing that we should be working on. The worship team is going to come and lead us in a few songs. And as they do, we're invited to respond to this message and to God's word. For some of us, that means standing and singing praises to him and letting the Holy Spirit refill your own heart as you pour it out. For some of us, that means we need to take some time to reflect and to confess. And so maybe you need to come here to the altar at the front. There's nothing magical or special about doing that, but there is something about aligning and posturing your body with what your heart is doing and letting God do the work. And perhaps there's someone who can come with you and pray over you and encourage you and help guide you in that process, and they can do that too. However God is calling you today to respond, we need to be open to hearing his voice. We need to respond to what he is saying to do. We cannot continue resisting His Spirit. God has a bigger plan for your life, that you would love like He does, because it is a much better way. And so, take the time to worship, to pray, to reflect, to confess, and go away from this place here today renewed, transformed, living out the love of God.
Thanks for listening and being part of our church and joining us in this journey to become down-to-earth people following Jesus in down-to-earth ways.